May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Today's passage from our second lesson, St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, was originally addressed to uncircumcised Gentile Christians. These were men who had accepted, but who were now reconsidering the message that Paul proclaimed about God's grace in redeeming and justifying Jews and Gentiles through faith in Jesus Christ, something that would be achieved without requirement of the works of the law. Paul makes the claim that these people received the good news, that even Gentiles could become heirs of God's promise and equal members of the people of God by abandoning their idols and trusting in Christ. This acceptance of what was a radical message made possible the emergence of Christian Jewish groups in synagogues and churches that proclaimed and practiced full and equal membership of uncircumcised Gentile Christians. Paul claims several things about this new reality of God's acceptance of Gentile Christian followers. That this was something God had intended from the very beginning, that it is a teaching that's actually found in the law, that it is a reality accepted by the key Christian leaders of Jerusalem, and that it was built into the very mission of all churches. Well, this was almost true. There were, in fact, some Christian Jewish groups who opposed the practical implications of allowing Gentiles to be a part of their communities. And these groups made the Gentiles first become proselytes. That is, they needed to become circumcised and law-observant converts. Paul, though, argued that God is the Redeemer of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, and that God has enacted this promise that he made to Abraham: all the Gentiles shall be blessed in you. Thus, by God's grace and freedom, and through the death and unity with Christ, uncircumcised Gentiles are now included as free and equal members of the church, the body of Christ. Now, I've gone on at length because on this, the first Sunday after Christmas, which is now known as the second low Sunday of the year, Paul calls us to be lifted impossibly high. On a day when worship attendance is now normally assumed to be low, a day when church choirs often take a break after the vocal workout of Christmas Eve, and even when the euphoria of Christ's birth has turned into a postpartum exhaustion, Paul, ever the one who fights against the machine, calls the church to a vivid Pentecostal transformation. Our hearts. Now, our over-indebted, over-sweetened, I had a lot of cake yesterday, very over-Christmas hearts are to be directly injected with the Spirit of God's Son. But if we listen closely, we can hear a new extra heartbeat within us, faintly echoing the cry of a baby's first words: Abba, Abba, Abba. Now our blood is mingled with that of Jesus himself. We are no longer second-class citizens, second-class strangers to our own salvation. We are now children and heirs of God. And so, on one of our lowest days, St. Paul would have the full impact of the heights of Christmas take a hold of us and lift us above ourselves and beyond our culture. Why? Well, this leads us in today's Gospel reading from St. John's Gospel. Who cannot be but thrilled by those opening words, "In the beginning was the Word," and then by the constant battle taking place between the light and the dark, until we come to the climax where we are told the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. This battle takes place not just in a cosmic sense, it also takes place in the very center of our being. The disturbance of the normal flow of our lives as beings in darkness that allows the light to shine upon us and for us to respond. Yes, the light is available to everyone. The true light which enlightens everyone, as St. John put it. But not all respond. As John continues, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." It's incredible to think that St. Paul was writing within a completely different cultural context and without the aid of the Gospels as we know them. And yet, he could write in a way that clearly echoes John's own words. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children." This fullness of time came when, as St. John put it, the Word became flesh and lived among us, moving us from being mere keepers of the law to becoming followers of the one through whom we receive grace and truth. This grace and truth is something we need to see as ours by birthright, given to us by the Father who calls us through his Son. We glorify God only because he has chosen us to make him known through Jesus, with whom and through whom our joy is complete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.